Okay, guys, how are you doing this afternoon? You good? Are you ready to receive something very interesting? Get ready. It's going to be interesting. So, message today I called The Destruction of Satisfaction. Ooh. That's not what you think. Or I call it simpler, the danger of enough. Oh, yeah. Listen to this. This thought was, it was my lesson in really interesting season of my life where God bringing me, teaching me, and leading me to something absolutely new. And you know, there is areas in our life where enough is good. One wife is enough. One husband is enough. You know, house and stuff. There is things we can settle, right? For there is many things. Once you get it, it's enough. It's good. Just protect it, bless it, just be with it. It's beautiful. One family is enough. I mean, a lot of things in our life, enough. But when it comes to God, ooh, enough is dangerous. That's what religious are. You see my point? That's what religion is. It's enough. Do you know that every religious church, at one point, it was the move of God? Please listen to me. Any denomination that dead right now, at one point in their life, it used to be a fire, revival, move of God. Oh, I read a lot of history, church history. I know where the Pentecostal came. I know where the Baptist came. I know where the Orthodox church, when they moved from the Catholics, it used to be explosion of the glory. Look at it now. Nothing but enough. Enough of this, enough of that, enough of all of that is enough. See, and that's what kills the move of God. If you want to know what's the enemy of the move of the Holy Spirit, it's enough. It's enough. It's enough blessing in my life. It's enough God. It's enough 15 minutes of my life I gave to Jesus. It's enough. See, that's what killing you. God is stretching you, but you're still stuck in a season where 15 minutes was a breakthrough. Oh, come on, somebody. 15 minutes used to be a breakthrough. You're like, you never prayed, and then you start praying 15 minutes a day. You're like, whoa. And now this is, it's enough for your soul, but it's not enough for your spirit. Your spirit is like, come on. Push, stretch, do something. And see, enough, in the presence of God, enough, it's absolute, it's a no-no. It's a destruction. It's absolute danger to have enough. We never have enough because God is so deep, so big, so wide. And you had enough? Are you kidding me? What is progress? Let's just dive into it. I break this sermon into three sections, so we're just going to go one by one. I hope you receive something today, because when God starts speaking to me, you know, sometimes, do you know where we are tested? When you prayed for something and you got it. You don't get it. Sometimes not getting it is better for you than getting it. And I remember Jesus, give me. And then Jesus, here you go. And I'm like, okay, I have a influence. I have a church. I have this. And then you know that satisfaction, the wrong kind, start to creep in. Oh, that's enough. You know enough. You can produce messages not even praying because it's your talent. You know what I mean? It's your gifting. You can produce this stuff like ChatGPT, spewing out that crap. Without even thinking, just bunch of information just being dumped on you. See, and we're missing the part that what's activating you is that fire and hunger. That's what makes everything alive. If you have a bunch of information, you're just talking head. You need fire, and that's what it means. I will never be satisfied with the move of God. I'm thankful, but always hungry for more. You see my point? Always hungry for more. To this day, I want more. That's why we're moving. That's why we're buying a new building. That's why we're stretching to services. That's why we do all this, you know, all these encounters, anything, outreaches. You see my point? We always stretch. You will never find me sitting 5 years at the same point. When you miss 5 years in the church, you will not recognize the church because we're always striving for more. Amen? Now, this first row in the ministry now, tell me what it is. That's a stretch. You see my point? That's a hunger. That's mean I'm slowly but surely giving them the opportunity to move forward. You see my point? Because I understand I'm getting old. Not satisfied, just old. I never said it. I want more. And it's a good hunger. It's a healthy hunger. It's not that, I want you, Jesus, you're not coming. It's not that type of, I'm not whining. I want more of you. I love what I have, but I want more of you. So what is progress? Progress is moving forward. What is moving forward? Unsatisfaction and hunger. Do you know why you push more weights at the gym? You want something. Soon as you stop wanting that or reach that, your, you know, the size of bicep you want or whatever, that, you know, chest that you like, and then you say like, man, I'm fine, and you just start working with the same way, just maintaining what you have, you know what I mean, which is okay in the physical realm because we hitting limits everywhere, you know. You don't want to be too big because it's gonna be too hard. All right. So, but in God, He makes you, do you know why we only explore 15% of our brains at the most, right? Just because God created you for so much more. That means your physical brain. I'm not even talking about your spirit that will never, see, God gave you spirit because only spirit can contain God. And stretch and grow with it and push for more. See, spirit, it's something that has no walls, and God gave it to you so you can fit and grow and stretch. He gave you mind that can understand and wanting more, going deeper. When you are moving forward, achieving something in your life or in your ministry, there is often someone near you, listen to this, who has already reached a certain level and feels that they have enough. These people will do everything possible to hold you back from moving forward. Why? Do you know that the enemy of best is good? You don't want it just good, you want the best, right? I'm talking about spiritual world. I can settle for the car, I can settle for the house, it doesn't matter. It's just physical thing. If you want more, you can buy, always get a better car, bigger house. But in a spirit, it's absolutely different. In a spirit, we have to stretch. We have to move or we die. See, that's the thing. In the spirit, you cannot get stagnant. You cannot pause. It's always moving forward, always striving for more. And that's how you move and live. You can't stay still in the spirit. These people will do everything possible to stop you. They might try to stop you or hinder your progress, not because they are bad people. Understand me. People were trying to stop you, not because they are bad. They may be the best of your friends, but see, it's the struggle when you have a season when you are hungry and somebody right there is enough. And he's your best friend. And that conflict, guys, you have no idea how many people I have to let go because they have reached, we're moving together and they hit that enough. And I said, let's go. They say, it's enough. And they start stopping you. Why? Pastor, why? That's good. Just maintain what you have. I say, no. Move. Or move out of the way. And a lot of people, you know, guys, you've been here more than enough time to see some people with me, and then they're just not there. Not because they're bad, because they refuse to go further into the God's dream, right? They just refuse. So please surround yourself by right people that will feed your hunger, not stop you, not put you in a break, you know. They will stop you not because they're bad, but because your passion, your dreams, and your growth exposes their stagnation. Ooh. See, when you are standing by the people who's not hungry, they make sure you are doing the same thing that do, because they don't want to look stupid sitting right by you. Because your fire always will expose their religion. And that's why they just like, why? It's good. Look at the Saul, King Saul, look at the David. Saul, it was enough for him. He never pursued God, not even a little bit. As soon as he's got anointed, he's settled. Ooh, that's another story. For me, one of the most difficult things in ministry is being surrounded by people who feels like they have enough. Sometimes in one season of their life, they are the biggest support of your life. And then 3 years passed and you're like, let's go. And they're like, no, that's good. I got it. How many people, you have no idea, church, how many people I prayed for a better job, and as soon as they got it, I never saw him again. Ever. How many people I prayed over to get family, to get a husband or a wife, soon as they got it, poof. And you know some of those people too. I mean, is this all you needed it from God in the first place? This is it? All you want in the church is just to find some good person, which is good. You know, you find the person. But is this it? They're not bad. See, my point is, they're not bad people. This is just what they wanted. And see, that's what I said. How I know people, when they receive what they pray for, who you are after that. What do you do after? Right after. Oh, yeah. When you have no food, everybody's hungry. Soon as everybody ate, oh, now I can see who is really pursuing something and who's like, that's good, enough. It's fine. Even more dangerous is when a leader or a pastor or a minister are under, you know, you are under, reached that place of enough. I used to be at one church and it's guys, it's horrible. When congregation is hungry and the leadership is not. Whoa. And that's why religious churches say, because God will not step over the leadership. He will just step out of the church. You see my point? God is respect the leadership, even the religious leadership. He respects it. He's not gonna do anything. But he always finds someone who's hungry and starts something new. You see my point? And some of you here, there is God will always have its people. And please understand, if you ever see any kind of movement of God, you will see a person on fire and hungry. There is always someone who's pushing this and who God pushes too. So you will always find that one person or that group of people that no matter what, we want more. And that's why I love Awakened Nights. That's why I love Sun People. That's why, because someone says it's not enough. We want more. Human beings are unique. We move when we have motivation, right? But the moment we enter the state of enough, all progress, effort, and forward movement are stopped. See, this is where resources run out. See, God will only give you resources for that will equal your passion and hunger. Oh, if you only hear what I say. You say, Jesus, give me. But he said, show me your fire. And it's not on him. It's on you. It's on me. Remember where one of the prophets dying and one of the kings came to him and he said, I think it's Elisha, right? I think it's Elisha dying. Remember that story? And the king came to him and he said like, oh, father of Israel, oh, and he's just crying out because he's dying. And remember what the prophet says? He said, open the windows and start shooting the arrows. Remember that story? Why God only gave him power for three battles? Because this is only three arrows. What does it show you guys? God will only match power with your passion. Oh my God. See, that's the key. People waiting for the power. God showing you, I will give it to you. Show me the level of passion and I will give you the level of power. It's biblical. Listen to it. Read it. Why David was like that? Killing lion and the bear? Oh, because he's got some passion and a hunger. And he's like, this is my sheep. No one touches this. See, this is what God, and he was not special. Well, he is, but he decided to be that. That's what God is not producing passion. Bible says he's looking for worshipers, for passionate people, people on fire. And he matched that fire with his power. And that's what I notice in my own ministry. If my power dwindles, you know, like if you become, you don't have revelations, that means your fire dying out. Because power always will match your passion and hunger. How hungry are you? You want to? Do you know why revival comes? Because passion of the people is at the peak. The hunger was at the peak. And they say, we're not moving until you move. And then bang, revival broke out. See, this is how it works. God's power does not come by itself. It will always come to match someone's fire and hunger in this place. Oh, some of you needed to hear just this. Your sermon is already over. This is all you needed to hear. So that's why I don't have no power? Yes, exactly. That's why you have no power, because you have no passion. You don't pursue God. And he doesn't produce passion. Passion, it's that's what our hearts produce when we're moving close to God. Your true hunger is tested when you receive everything you once wanted or prayed for. Only then you can see true motives of your heart and whether you truly need God or you always wanted something from God. And it's sad. A lot of people just satisfied to receive some gift from Jesus. Jesus will give it to you. But is this it? Is this it? Come on. God has so much more for you. Do you know, I love MMA. Just, it is what it is. I grew up in Soviet Union. I like when see people beat the snot out of each other. It's fine. Maybe it's not biblical, but it's fun, you know. It's one of the sports. Do you know why the champions lose title? They lose hunger. People who hold on for the title of the champion, it's the ones who more hungry than the one who come to take it. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. That's how it works. If someone comes more hungry for the title than you are, he will take it. Are you more hungry than this world? Are you more hungry than everybody around you? That's what's going to change everything around you. How hunger comes? Pray for hunger. Bible says you don't have it because you don't ask for it. Ask for it and you shall receive it. That's the Bible. Oh, I don't have it. You never pray for it. You don't ask for it. That's why you don't have it. So the danger of enough. We pray to raise champions in different areas of life. But you cannot become a champion by settling for enough. Sometimes you see people whose lives are extremely difficult. They are all in reality, they're not even living, they are surviving. And I see those people. Every day is the battle just to exist. Yet they make no decisions and are not willing to change anything in their life. Because for them, this little life, whatever we have, is just enough. But you will always be jealous of someone who pushes further. See, that's why Saul's hate and jealous of David's. Not because God favors someone, but because David wants more. It's not enough. Read the Psalms of David. He always, I will pursue, I will pursue, I will worship, I will praise, I want to be in your house every day of my life. Listen to his prayers and his worship. I love Psalms because this is the, God gave us the access to the someone's heart that he chose. This is, read Psalms again and again and again. You will be, it's so much revelation in it. Ask yourself, why are there so many lifeless churches filled with people who know that their living God is not there? Why so many lifeless churches? And I remember my younger days. I used to go and, you know, in different churches, let's say, and just like, guys, are you kidding me? I'm sitting there like with youth, you know, like you know, 18-ish, 17-ish, up to 20-ish. And it's just like, and all of this procession going, and everybody's just like playing the role. They playing this little game called church. And I'm sitting, I was on fire back then. And it's like, guys, that's it? Why are you here? If not for God, then you have ulterior motives, right? You have something else in mind. Why are you here? And they, I like that girl right there, yeah. That's it. Wow. Who? We should not blame people, God, or circumstances. We choose the life we live. Hey. We choose. You say, like, nothing's going in my life. Whose fault is that? You don't push. You don't pray. You don't change. You don't move. Oh, my neighborhood suck. Move out. It takes more money. Move. Change your job. But we don't want that. We're just satisfied with the itty-bitty job that covers this crappy apartment where everything stinks. And people, you know, low-income areas, you know. What I mean? I'm not bashing on people. People are people. You know, we have to love everybody. But you say like, move out. But to move out, you gotta have a hunger and passion to change your lifestyle, right? To bring your income up. To change your thinking. First of all, thinking. And then everything follows. Oh, yeah. And people are like, God is not touching me. He's not touching you here because he prepared something for you over there. People are like, oh, you know, people angry at God. Why Jesus don't move here? Because he's not moving here. He's moving over there. Move. And you'll see a change. We choose whether to truly live or merely exist, right? In a state called enough. Good. It's fine. It is tragic that people who were promised the promised land and true fulfillment choose to eat manna all their life simply because it's enough. Remember, almost over 3 million people, right? Let's say that. Traveling from Egypt to the promised land. Soon as they look at the new land that God promised, the spies came back and they say, two of them, of course, Joshua and Caleb, they say like, oh, we killed them, we eat them alive. Oh, let's waste this right now. But 10 of those say, we're nothing. We're nobody. We're little, what they say, grasshopper. Little grasshoppers. They are huge and there's nothing we can do. See, and they decided fear and enough. And you know, they say like, why even bother? We have manna. We have water. We have everything we need. Nobody's sick. Nobody died because God protected them. Remember, nobody even they say even shoes never wore out. It was like fine. See, that's good. And they like, why even bother moving, fighting, all of this stuff? They step back and said, it's enough. And remember what happened? God lifted promise from whole generation. Whole generation. Because you know that everybody suffered. I'm sure not all of them want to stay. I'm sure there is a big majority of Israel wants to move. But do you know why God did it? Because leadership didn't want it. If you're on a leadership position, please understand, it's not you only. It's everybody you're leading that will be affected by your power, fire, your hunger, and your decisions. So make sure, doesn't matter how many people you lead, maybe you disciple one person, that's enough. Are you truly hungry? Are you truly an example? Are you truly showing the side of Christ that you needed to show your disciples? Those who live in enough will never truly be happy. See, that's the thing. Do you know how I know you living in a state not enough? Because you are not happy. Come on. People who, let's rephrase this. People who God's not pulling or pushing forward, they are okay. They don't even have that drive. They don't even have that passion. They come with their families. Maybe he's not even called by God to do anything big. He was just has his little business. His family is beautiful. Everybody at the church. And that's it. That's his measure of grace. But it's not yours. Because he's happy. You got the same thing and you're not. That's what tells me and you, you called for something else. You call to go higher because you have no satisfaction. Something is pulling you. Yeah, you said like it's enough, but are you really satisfied? No. No. You're just saying you are because you're afraid to change something in your life and move forward. Some say, I can't do it. You know the favorite phrase of the losers? I can't. Do you know I can't? It's a choice. It's not a position. If you understand. See, when you say I can't, that means you don't want. Don't say I can't. Because everybody in your position who can, they go and do it. But can't, it's kind of like, you know, you empowering your dysfunction. It's like, yeah, I can't. Yes, you can't. You just don't want it. Please say it nicely. I don't want it. Thank you for being honest. You can and you will if you have passion. But you don't want to because you don't want to. That's it. People will stop your progress. Very often those who hold you back are those closest to you. People who do not wish you harm or failure, they simply are not going forward themselves. They are comfortable where they are and they have enough for what they want. God is enough, enough miracles, enough church, enough everything. They have reached the place they always wanted and they stopped here and there and that's it. The reason is simple. They don't want to pay the price to move forward. See, because it's not just physical battles. We fight spiritual battles, guys. There is someone outside of this visible realm want to stop you and stop promise of God on your life. Someone you don't see manipulating people around you. Oh, why bother? Oh, come on. Everybody's doing it. Just chill. Come on. Don't listen to it. You called for something great. The most painful part is when this comes from those closest to us, like spouses, children, really close friends. Those are the most hurtful. Do you know how many families me and my wife consults that wife is on fire and husband's just like, oh, whatever. Or man, he wants to like do something great for God. And she's like, she's not even in the church. Oh, you know those families. I'm not going to name names. They like, oh, screw this. And his whole life is living hell because someone not just doesn't want to go, but do everything possible in his or her way to destroy you, to stop you. Because they look bad when you do this. When you search for your Jesus, you'll make me look bad. You make me look like a bad Christian when you do all this fire and hunger thing. Ah, yeah. Remember Jonathan? Oh, the best story. One of the best stories in this segment. It's a story of Jonathan. Jonathan, the son of King Saul. Remember that? That guy? Bible says only good things about him. You will never read anything bad about Jonathan. Not one thing. Always loving, always giving. Soon as he saw David conquer the Goliath, he gave him everything from, he basically his clothes, everything, his weapons, everything. Shield, whatever he's got. He loved David so much, he gave him everything. That's a friendship. But see, he's the one that was closest to David from the long period of time. And he quit on David in the most vulnerable stage and season of his life. When Saul start persecution of David, not just persecution, he wants to kill David because he understand this is a danger to my kingdom. He started pursuing him, started throwing, you know, basically try to wipe him out. And you know what Jonathan did? Jonathan chose his father over his friend David. He settled. That's enough. Why am I gonna run with David hiding? But that's where God is. That's why a lot of people not with you, because they know, yes, you have something special, but the price you pay, I cannot follow you. And they choose to step back into the religion kingdom of Saul. And you know what happened to Saul? He died. Do you know how Jonathan died? Same way as Saul died. The guy who never deserved to be killed like this. Because God says, I will remove Saul. He never said anything about Jonathan. But why Jonathan received the same measure of punishment? Because you will receive everything who you align yourself with. Woo! That's a new one. See, we think like, oh, it's just gonna go over me. No, whatever that, if he receives punishment and you align yourself with people who are condemned by God or God stepping out of their life and you see they're doing something wrong, run from that people. Don't associate with them. That's why even New Testament says, see that don't even eat, don't even touch their. It's not religious thing. It's because they are judged and you don't want to be near those people who is judged by God. Whoo. And that position of Jonathan led him to his death. There's nothing you can do. He chose this. God will not punish you. He will only punish you if you align yourself with people who is judged by God and God is punishing them. Almost everyone who moves forward will encounter Jonathans. I have few of mine in my lifetime. People close to you who cannot understand why you are striving for more. Because for them, it's good enough. Why do this? Why? It's good and they don't understand. But you cannot show people your passion. This is yours. But in Christianity, your opposition is not only from people, it's also battle with the spiritual world. There's nothing you can do. There are levels and possibilities in the Christian life, but everything depends on how strongly you desire progress and how valuable is the dream of God that He placed inside of you. How valuable is to you? Jesus told me, I will touch nation. I will touch your generation. I will touch people, your people. You guys have your people. I have my people. You see my point? Everybody has their own generation that God is raising them to touch. And when He promised me, I have to step up, guys. We all have to step up. Because His promise and His power only will match your fire and passion. It will not be independent of your fire. That's why most generals you see right now and in previous seasons, they fail miserably. Why? Because fire and passion dies and then they kind of fall back into their, let's say, like a dark stuff, right? That only can be held by the presence of God. Some people say like, oh, God freed me. Oh, God freed you, yeah. But you have to be in the presence of God where that freedom is sustained. Oh, some people need to hear this. You're like, I'm free from lust. Hold your tongue, boy. Hold on. Nobody freed from lust. Because lust is a bad thing. Let's rephrase this. Lust based upon gift of God of intimacy to couple. That means if this is lost, if you have that passion towards your wife, Bible call it a blessing. So what is lost means it's you want someone that not doesn't belong to you. You see my point? That means if you will conquer that area, of course, and you will be conquered only if you live in the glory of God, guys. Soon as you start getting colder, passion's gone, all that stuff that you conquered start knocking on your door. Oh, and some of you live long enough to understand what I'm talking about. You live for the whole season. There is not a beep, nothing. And then something starts knocking at your door. You're just like, what is this coming from? Oh, the spiritual world telling you your fire is dying down. It cannot fight or sustain your freedom anymore. What does it mean? That means you need to get on fire to continue live in the freedom. You see my point? Yeah, that's because some people say like, oh, God freed you. Yeah, He freed you, but you're still on this earth with all these demons and people and witchcraft and attacks. You see my point? And you have to be protected. How are you protected? Only in the presence of God. Get covered by glory and you will never know what that is. But to be covered by glory, it's fight in itself. Woo! Oh, try to live in the glory every day. Hoo-hoo-hoo! That's a fight, but that's worth fighting. Amen. Okay, remember the story of, in Numbers 13, verse 27. I already said that it's when leaders of Israel discouraged people from entering the promised land, they did not want harm, but fear and, you know, satisfaction about what they have with the current state caused them to stop progress. So basically, they say like, that's enough. That's good. Let them keep that promised land. We have our manna. And that's it. They step back. And God need to wait 40 years until new generation rise up who is hungry for the move of God. And who led them? Of course, Joshua. Amen. And you know, that's a different kind of fire. I'm finishing. A few more minutes and we are done. choose progress and surround yourself wisely. Make sure you understand who is around you, and please understand those people can make you or break you if you align themselves. Bible clearly says many times over, if you align yourself with someone who is going the wrong path, funny thing is, they not usually going to the right side. Usually you go to the wrong side. It's funny how it is. You think like, oh, I will lead him to Christ. But to lead him to Christ, you don't have to go there. You have to be on fire and you have to show Christ, right? Some people are like, oh, why did you drink? Oh, we just sit there and I don't want to be disrespectful Christian. He gave me a little bit of a shot here, shot there, a little beer here. I just drank. It's fine. Do you know what? As soon as you touch that stuff, you lost all authority, all anointing right there, and became as useless as they are. Hello, someone says, amen. Yeah. Some people think, oh, they're going to go compromise something and they're going to win. No, you're going to lose everything because that's not how it works. Ask yourself honestly, who is stopping your progress? Be very careful about who's surrounding you. Because very often God cannot move in your life because there are people around you whose voices, listen to this, carry more authority and power than God's voice in your life. Oh yeah, those people, be careful. Because some people, God telling them one thing, but they listen to other voices. And they say like, nah, my friends don't like that, so I'm choosing my friends. See, make sure God's voice is dominant in your life. Make sure when He says something, you drop everything and run towards God. That's who He chooses. Until those influences are removed, your forward movement will be limited. Oh yeah. And I remember compromising. Oh, and I'm telling myself, why cut off these guys? I will say about Jesus. And Jesus is telling me, don't you lying to yourself. You're only trying to protect this clique in the club because you like it, not because you want to share Jesus with them. So God's exposing your motives like that, real quick. No matter what you achieve, please understand there is always room for growth and forward movement. And there are always be people who try to stop you, even out of what they call love. Did you ever been stopped by love? Oh, that's another one. Some people stopping you by hate. It's not gonna work. But you know what works? I love you. Please stop. Don't go to that church, please. And your mommy. And I remember like one guy called me and says, you know, my mom, she said like she loved me. And she told me, don't hang out with people like you. And then he went back and he's in jail right now. And sitting for many years because he committed a crime. Because he chose mommy over discipleship. Hello? And mommy wants to hold him because what gonna our church say? You're going to the heretics church. Wow. You know what I mean? And he chose soul over spirit. And to this day, he actually committed really bad crime. He was a driver in the shootout where people died. True story. They gave him many years because he didn't do anything, but he was a driver. Ooh. Well, now he's with Jesus, I guarantee you that. You know, what can you do in jail, right? Pray, fast, read Bible. It's actually a good place to meet Jesus, you know? We call it a prison ministry by force. So, well, but we ultimately choose where we want to end up. Dear family, I do not want manna. I don't want merely to survive. It's not in my DNA. It's not what I'm been placed by God on this earth. I want milk and honey, guys. I want to go to bed understanding that today I did everything in my power to do God's will that He placed in my heart. That's my thing. For true reformation to happen, there must be a people like Caleb and Joshua, those who carry God's dream and refuse to settle for enough. Please choose to be Caleb and Joshua. Even if you see nobody wants to leave, nobody wants to go anywhere, nobody wants to do anything, you say, I will wait, I will hunger. And when opportunity came, oh, they got it. They got that land so quick. Oh, I love that story. I love Caleb and Joshua. Man, that is an absolutely different generation of leadership, on fire, hungry for the promises of God. And I hope there is some of you here today, you will get this. You will not gonna let your fire die. You're not gonna let the answers of God. He will give you family. He will give you everything you dream because He loves you. But what then? What then? Are you still gonna hunger? Are you still gonna carry that fire? Are you still gonna push forward and see those lives change and souls saved? I'm willing. That's my life. That's what I love to do. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, amen. I'm done. Let's stand up. Give Jesus a shout. Give Jesus a shout. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. I hope that ministered to some of you. You're here. Maybe you, some of you needed to hear this. Some of you needed to hear this. Just take a minute and ask Him for passion that you might lost, or maybe you're not at that level where you used to be. See, in Revelation, why God says you need to repent and come back to the first love. See, for God, whatever you do is meaningless without first love. You see my point? Meaningless. Everything needs to flow out of that love and passion and hunger. So please, if you lost that fire, I'm not gonna call you up front. It's okay. Just close your eyes and ask Holy Spirit to bring that fire. Bring that fire. Bring that fire. Actually, you know what? If anybody needs a touch, come forward. If anybody needs, if that spoke to you and you understand what it means, you can come up front. It's okay. Yeah, my prayer team guys. Yeah, if please don't feel embarrassed. Don't even think about this. You are acknowledging that something needs to reignite, and that's who God sees, and that's who God's gonna touch. Please. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes. Yeah. No matter where you are, if you think this is for you, you can come and we'll pray for you. All you need is someone who's gonna touch and agree on that specific issue. Jesus, I want more of you. Jesus, it's not enough. I'm not ashamed to absolutely say to God, if I'm losing fire, guys, don't be ashamed. It's human thing. Sometimes we caught up in all of this nonsense, all this life and all of this stuff that take our attention away from Christ. And it's a human thing. Don't worry about it. What is bad when you are refusing to reignite your passion and fire? You don't want to acknowledge that your spirit is dying right now. I always say, if I'm in that season, we all go through dry seasons. Please understand, all of us. But I always acknowledge, always pray to Jesus and say, Dear Father, I'm losing my passion. Please reignite me. I'm losing my fire. Please reignite me. I love you so much. I cannot live without your hunger. Please give me that hunger that I used to have when I first encountered you. Don't be ashamed. Always talk to him because he knows everything anyway. Just acknowledge it. Just invite him into your spirit and tell him to heal that area or touch that specific area in your life where you battle or something is taking away your passion. He will help you. That's why Holy Spirit is here. That's why Holy Spirit has been sent by Jesus, by the Father, so he can lead you. He can change you. He cannot address all those issues. Just say it like it is. Reignite me, Holy Spirit. Reignite me, Jesus. I want that passion. I want that fire. I want to see that promise fulfilled in my life that you gave it to me a long time ago. Thank you, Jesus. It's never enough. Jesus is not supposed to be enough. It's that hunger supposed to be more stronger through the years that pull you into his light, into his love. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for this season. Thank you so much that you're raising up a new voices right now. Thank you so much for our young adult ministry, youth ministry. Thank you for new voices, new hearts, new passions, new ideas that come from heaven and will be fulfilled in these vessels. Thank you, Jesus. Touch this generation with your fire. Touch this generation with your fire. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. Such a beautiful moment. Just be here one more minute. Such a beautiful moment. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Such a beautiful presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I know there's a champions in this building. I know you are. Your heart is always calling you. Something is not enough inside of you. Something always telling you when you sitting at home by yourself that just something is waiting for you. Something is big coming. Oh, you are chosen. You are chosen by God. There is nothing you can do about it. He called you. He placed that hunger inside of you. That passion. Thank you, Jesus. We will see this generation see fire and hunger and a harvest of souls for your kingdom. Thank you so much for this time and this season. And everybody say, Amen. Give Jesus a hand. Thank you so much. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Okay, sit down. We have one more thing to do. We're gonna bless the baby. Come on, guys. Come on over here. Oh, come on. Yes. All right. Woo! Is it a boy or girl?
Girl?
Girl, because I see the blue, but I see the bow tie. I'm confused. Usually it's a pink, right? But it's okay. We breaking all the rules, right? Oh, I love it. I love it. What's her name?
Nicolina.
Wow. Okay, guys, let's stretch your hands and bless this family and this little life. Jesus, we bless Nicolina, Jesus. We pray for this little life to be beautiful essence before your throne, Jesus. Let her take this
place in people that have been chosen by you. Let her fulfill something that you called her to do. Jesus, we pray for the parents, for the wisdom to raise this little one, for the presence of God in their family, so she knows your voice since very little, since the beginning of her birth. She knows the atmosphere and the presence of God. Jesus, we bless her. We pray of the protection over her, wisdom and protection over parents in the name of Jesus. And we give this little soul to you, God, and we bless her and thank you so much for what you do. It's a miracle. And everybody says, amen. Woo! Bless you guys. Bless you. It's a beautiful life. Nicolina, be blessed. All right. Okay, guys. That's it. It concludes the service. Please enjoy the facility. Enjoy the coffee shop. Bless you guys. We'll see you next time.